welcome to the second quarter 2014 conference call. This is Christian Teig speaking from Koblenz. Today's session will follow the normal format, meaning we will have a presentation for about 15 to 20 minutes, and then we go into a Q&A session thereafter. The presentation can be downloaded from our website, or you can follow on the Webex presentation format. We will now step into the presentation, and we start with slide number two, the key figures for the second quarter 2014. It has been a good quarter, 15% growth, respectively 8% organic growth at constant exchange is actually very good, maybe even a bit flattering given the relatively easy comp from last year. Furthermore, the profitability is where it should be at this point and in this particular year. Also considering a 1.5 million one-off expense in the quarter. Moving to slide number three, we here see the revenue and profitability per quarter since 2010. Revenue shows a persistent growth pattern, and the operating margin now hovers around the 18% mark. Although an improvement from last year, the current operating margin remains lower than the group's inherent potential, and the main reason for this are described in more detail on the following slide. That brings us to slide number four, where we see the operating margin Q2 commented. The special initiatives in 2014 have been planned and announced and should be well known. All of these initiatives are aimed at growth and structural cost reductions. What came in addition was the final earn-out payment for CGM Lab in Sweden of 1.5 million euros, which added to the quarterly operating expense. Moving on to slide five, the costs of goods and gross margin. Not much to add to this picture. We have been in the 81%-83% gross margin range for a long time, and this is also true for this quarter. 83% is exactly the same as the second quarter last year. Moving to slide six, the personnel expenses. With some sequential currency effects, the personnel expenses follow closely the level we saw in Q1. That means around the 20 million-21 million euros per month. Again, it's a fully consistent picture to our current development. Brings us to slide number seven. Here we see the other expenses. Again, not much to add to this picture, except for the seasonally busiest fourth quarter. Other expenses remain at somewhere around 30%-35% relative to personnel expenses, and that is the currently normal level. Again, also keep in mind the 1.5 million euro one-off from CGM Lab, which impacts this quarter. Without that one, we would actually be at 30%, which is something that we strive for overall in our business development. Moving on to slide number eight, the operating cash flow. Cash flow from operations accumulated for the first half is more or less unchanged from last year. This is as expected, given the almost identical operating profits in the two periods. There are some fluctuations between the quarters, but otherwise, no material change. Brings us to slide number nine, the capital expenditure in this quarter. No big investments. We have acquired some AIS dealers in Germany, which is part of our strategy to build a stronger sales and support network in this market with a mix of own and external channels. Otherwise, no big investments in the second quarter 2014. Slide number 10, the balance sheet. Very few changes to the balance sheet over the last 3 months. Basically, we paid a $17.4 million dividend and reduced cash with about the same amount. We now turn to a review of each business segment, beginning with the largest area, both in terms of revenue and profits. That is the software for doctors. This business currently represents about 60% of group revenue and is also where most of the action and positive dynamics are taking place right now. Then we are at slide number 12, the details of the doctor software, the AIS development. It has been a good quarter in the doctor software business. 12% organic growth in Europe at constant exchange is actually very strong. 6%, that is about 3 million euros of this, comes from the telematic infrastructure project in Germany. And the development in the US is as planned, and there are we are more focused on how sales and bookings develop. Which brings us to slide number 13, the U.S. development in the second quarter 2014. In terms of sales and order bookings, the outcome in the second quarter 2014 shows continued improvement and was actually over 60% higher than the same period last year and also sequentially higher than the first quarter. We do meet the needs of the market very well. And we will continue as planned to expand the direct sales force in the U.S. throughout 2014 to further strengthen distribution and to get organic growth into the business again. For the further development of the U.S., a rotation in the leadership has been made. Werner Rodolph steps in as the new CEO in the U.S. He's by no means a new person for us. He's been part of the U.S. leadership living in the U.S. for more than 5 years now, and behind that he has a total of more than 30 years of working in our industry. So that can only be good for the further development of our U.S. business. Then we move on to a project of particular importance. This is slide 14, the telematic infrastructure. An ongoing highlight of current developments. Of course, we are excited about the role we play and how we can influence the future of German healthcare. And the points on this slide basically show that we are on track to meet the project objectives, both for us and for our customers. What that means, in short words, is that by 2016, this network will be ready for the nationwide connection of all clinics and hospitals in Germany. Why is that important? This is a reminder. We will bring that in every quarter in this period. The real upside actually comes with this potential rollout. It's just to remind us that this project is not just a short-term pilot, but it is probably the strongest long-term growth opportunity for CGM, with a potential full rollout, which then potentially could begin in 2016, we have the opportunity to sell online access products compliant with this infrastructure to all existing customers in Germany. This represents about 75,000 installations and represents a big potential and opportunity for us. Final point, slide 16 on this topic. It really fits perfectly with our strategy to provide more products and services to customers. With this infrastructure in place, we can provide everything in terms of hosted products, networking products that we currently do in many other healthcare economies, also to our large and most important customer base in Germany. That concludes the software for doctor part. We now step into the second office-based segment. That means the software for pharmacies. This business in total represents about 15% of group revenue. And we step now into slide 18. for the latest development for the pharmacy software business. We've had yet another good quarter, this time around with 10% organic growth. That comes all from Germany, as we still didn't have this business elsewhere last year. The new Italian business continues to perform as expected, and in both markets we see a robust demand for upgrades, which is a result of the XP expiry. And altogether, it should be a continued good year for the pharmacy software business in 2014. We now turn to the third software segment, namely software for hospitals. This business is approximately the same size as the pharmacy software business. That means about 15% of group revenue. Yeah, the one-page overview is on slide 20 for the hospital business. Not much new since the last quarter. Our main markets are in some form of a stagnant phase and growth is elusive. There's no real crisis, but it is obviously an area of special attention for management to rejuvenate this part of our business. Brings us now to some slides on health connectivity services. At the end, HCS constitutes today about 10% of group revenue. It comes partially from what we see here on slide 21, the communication and data business. The legacy business in communication and data develops as expected. We have brought some new people to this business to see if we can bring back growth, also outside the traditional doctor software products. And this is with our e-health business media operations that cooperate with the largest online physician network in Germany. And again, it will take some quarters to get the ball rolling on this. Right now, this is a declining business, but certainly we are taking some measures to see if we can restore growth also here. Moving us to slide 22, workflow and decision support. The underlying trend here is positive. We continue to sell IPC3 through third-party software vendors, and we continue to expand our health management services for the payer side. It's not going fast, but overall we're happy with how this business develops. We are now on to slide 23, expected developments. That means we are at the stage of the forward-looking part of the presentation. Most things are unchanged since the first quarter. Directionally, the AIS business is on the right track and could even exceed the high end of the revenue range. We now include this statement also for the pharmacy software business, which now also looks to come in at the high end of what we have indicated. For the hospital business, the situation is unchanged, and it will be really down to the wire fourth quarter to clinch the low end of the indicated revenue range. That means the summary on slide 24. We reaffirm our 2014 guidance. Approximately 4 million euros of revenue will come from the new AIS sales and service partners acquired during the second quarter. First year of consolidation, net of expenses, no EBITDA contribution. That's pretty normal when we acquire businesses. Other than that, we reaffirm our guidance for the year. And let me just repeat what I said after the first quarter. We know that these numbers in an isolated sense are not satisfactory, especially the profitability, but to restore growth and profitability in the business, we just have to go through our set of planned initiatives this year and come back stronger in 2015. Slide 25, the financial calendar. Please note the CGM eHealth Summit, which is now fixed at Friday, October 10th in Koblenz. One topic will definitely in this conference be the telematic infrastructure. where we're also trying to bring in some external speakers to give some added insights as to the road ahead in German healthcare. So if you are interested in CGM, you should definitely book this into your calendar. This now concludes the prepared part of the presentation. We are now into the Q&A session. Normal procedure, if you like to raise questions, please press star 1 on your telephone and you will be queued up for the Q&A session.
Yes, hi Christian, this is Florian speaking from Commerzbank. I have two questions if I may. Let's start with the first one, the acquisition of the AIS sales and service partners in Germany. What is the rationale behind this move? And if I remember right, you tried to increase your share of direct sales last year already, at least without any big meaningful reports on news or a big success. What is the rationale behind it?
We see that there is a shift in the market, which is partially also driven from the upcoming telematic infrastructure. There will be a tremendous amount of growth from that coming also from the service side, and we want to be fully on top of that development and of course also see if we can capture some of that in-house. I think the difference to our attempt the last time is that we now do this building on the existing structures and the existing competence which is out there, and partnering partially or fully with a selected group of these dealers means that we will in a very different way broaden this distribution and support network and get our multi-channel strategy up and running and again in a gradual way, which will lead us into a new phase of additional services into our doctor software market and also dental market in Germany.
From a margin perspective, we are talking about low double-digit EBITDA margins or comparable margins at group level?
I mean, we probably see that business similar to the extensive service portfolio that we provide to our pharmacy customers. So we see with the services that we envision and the development we can get in, you should see that as a 25% EBITDA margin business. It's probably not the north of 30% that you can get from a pure software part. But it's definitely not old school box pushing hardware business. That market is also changing, not just for us, but IT services and infrastructure and service products are becoming, in a sense, more sexy and more relevant also from a margin perspective. So we don't see this as being margin dilutive in the overall development of the group.
Okay. And the second one, if I may, can you add some color on the US business? I think nice booking data for the second time. When can we expect to see something like the revenues turning around to positive year-over-year growth again? And is there a particular reason why you changed the management again in the U.S.?
So for the development in the U.S., we will sequentially now, I mean, as bookings go up, sequentially revenue will grow, and I believe that already in the next quarter there could even be switch to positive year-on-year growth. But that's only a question of time from the mechanics of the business model. So I guess as long as we continue to grow our bookings, that will just happen by itself. Yeah, the management change was not really planned, but sometimes these things happen. And it was basically a normal internal management dynamic. And again, we are now more robust in the U.S. where we have a group of leaders who can step in when these things change. And again, Vanner has really been a solid part of that group for a long time and I think is an important continuity bearer, both from what we've done in the past and what's currently going on.
The former CEO still with Comp Group?
No.
No. Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Yes, Gunnar Kors, Berenberg Bank. Thank you much for the introduction, Christian. I would also like to follow up on the distribution partners, so basically the acquisition of distribution partners in Germany. I would assume you're rather obviously looking for partners who do the majority of the business with you already. So when you talk about this approximately 4 million of additional revenue, these are then kind of, I would assume, with third parties. Would you generally also prepare to keep this kind of business or prepare to sell it on to someone else? And the other question would be also related to this. If you acquire to a larger extent also distribution partners in Germany, would one day you kind of consider again kind of to outsource them the hardware part of this business once it becomes a significant size, you know, where you can basically pass it on to someone else who would be more willing to kind of take this over and also would kind of prevent to dilute your margins? So that would be the first question. And the second would be basically Cerner, as you probably have seen, has bought Siemens, part of Siemens hospital business in Germany. Do you think this will have any impact on your business? Thank you very much.
Yeah, so for the distribution partners, certainly when we do this, it's for the long run. It's not a trade sale. So you should expect that to remain inside. As I answered in the previous question, I'm not entirely saying that hardware is the new sexy. Having said that, of course, we believe that we have some structures that we can build on also the hardware side, which comes from our pharmacy software business. I would say we would be open to the most efficient way of operating that, but right now, again, as I said, we do have a very efficient logistics and service provision, including warehouse, for this, and that's obviously going to be leveraged with some efficiency improvements there. So I would say, again, no plans whatsoever to outsource it in the future. As I indicated, you know, we believe we can run this, you know, the service including hardware at around the 25% margin mark. You know, if that becomes elusive, I mean, obviously we would need to look at ways to circumvent that. But as I said, right now we see this, we are inspired by what we have been able to achieve in our pharmacy software business by being just a one-stop provider. In many other markets, we have been that for a long time. We may or may not have customers who buy hardware directly from some other source or from us. Again, we have no particular interest to provide hardware, but we do it today, again, mostly in the pharmacy software business, and there will now be some additions to that, but with the goal of also making a decent margin on that part and not to make it dilutive on the overall group. Second question, the Cerner Siemens, the short answer is no, we don't see that as having any impact on us. The deal will consummate beginning of next year. You know, they will be busy on their integration project for the another 12. I guess it is a window for us to go through our thinking and our action to bring some more life into our own hospital business, one way or another. But overall, I mean, it was probably a good solution for Siemens and Cerner. There must be big benefits and synergies, in particular in the U.S. market, both ways. And we can only congratulate these guys to get that, say, block into place and realize that we still have some work to do on our own side to figure out the long-term future of our own hospital business.
Just to follow up, then this 4 million revenue from sales and services partners, this is then hardware sales or from third parties?
So it's say hardware and technical services. I would say from memory, hardware is probably about 50% of it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. It's Uwe Schupp from Deutsche Bank. Hi, Christian.
Hey.
Regarding, just a follow-up on the question regarding Cerner and Siemens. It seems to me that Siemens is at least as unhappy as you are with your hospital business. Is that an unfair assumption from your perspective? And if so, if you just could continue your thoughts that you just started, is a sale, to put it pretty directly, of your hospital business, I mean, completely out of reach from today's perspective? And secondly, just on the telematics business, do you think that given all the NSA discussion, etc., that you are in a slight disadvantage compared to the other competitor, that you have an Anglo-Saxon partner in your consortium? And does this have any impact during your discussions, certainly increased potentially increased on the back of the recent developments? Thank you.
So for your first question, is it completely out of reach? Is, of course, the strongest of all statements. I would say do not expect it. We are looking for, we've said, we clearly see strong links between the other parts of our business and the hospital business. In the long run, those links will grow stronger in all our markets. So I think it would feel wrong to just outright sell it. And again, that's not what we are working on. But again, it needs to increase in size, and we may not necessarily have to own it 100%. I think that those should be, say, the main tracks, but keeping it within the group sphere is what you should expect. And really, I would question the long-term intelligence. It's not as if we don't need to go through a fire sale to do it. Is it a business which is showing few dynamics in most markets? I think clearly. I mean, also for Siemens, it isn't an easy part of the healthcare market right now. But we are by no means discouraged. We have a lot of exciting stuff going on which could increase the options we have for the future, the G3 development and more, say, more competitive products coming online. But overall, it's clear that something structurally should happen within our own hospital business also, but do not expect us just to fork it out and be done with it. Second question, the short answer is no. We don't feel any disadvantage. Actually, we feel strong. We feel welcome. We feel very much in line with our customer, the Gematik organization, and we are excited as they are in the gradual shaping and specificity of the role of the Gematik and the telematic infrastructure, where I think we are more confident than ever that we will play an important role alongside other players.
Stupid question maybe, but is your partner, does he have a local subsidiary? I'm sure he has. And is this subsidiary basically your partner? Or is it maybe more a loose representation?
So you're talking Booz. Booz. They were acquired by PwC, so they are now officially PwC. It's a consulting organization. I mean, PwC is our auditor, which in itself is a little bit absurd. We didn't ask them to acquire Booz, but right now they join us in the pilot project. They are excellent in project management, and it is, a project with a substantial administrative and management and formal aspect. And I think it's brilliant that we have someone with that capability. To my knowledge, every single one of the participants is A, hired by a German legal entity, B, is German, and C, speaks German. And I think the any potential NSA flavor is no more than what is the group auditor of the firm, because it's essentially part of the same group, which is PricewaterhouseCoopers. So I really, that is a non-issue.
Very clear. Just coming back to the hospital business, and really a quick one. I was amazed by the purchase price that Siemens was able to get. Were you as well?
You could look at it both ways. You know, they have not disclosed any underlying financials for 10 years. It's been a very hard business to read. We know that when they bought Shared Medical Systems in the U.S. in, I think it was 1997, that business was about $1 billion per year. Whatever has come in or out in the period has been completely intransparent. The estimates I saw when the speculation was going on was that revenue was from $500 million to $1.5 billion. So really a gap that you could drive a bus through. Now it turned out it was $1.2 billion, which shows that it's been a stable, hardly growing at all business throughout this decade. Cerner paid 1x revenue. You know, on a business volume, that's not very expensive. You know, with all the synergies they can get out, it's 20,000 people. It sounds as if it wasn't a very profitable business just from those corner points. So these are two of the most capable professional organizations on this planet. I'm sure when they agree on such a price, it has benefits for both sides, and in some theoretical way it is the right price. So I guess I wasn't quite as amazed as you, Uwe.
Okay, anyways, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. That's Knut Woller from Baader Bank. Just two questions, Christian. Regarding your EBITDA guidance, we have seen a weaker start. In Q1, there was the HIS business that started to recover sequentially, and now you had the one-off in terms of 1.5 million. How confident do you feel still to reach the high end of your EBITDA guidance for the full year? Then, secondly, on the pharmacy business, the acquired one in Italy, can you give us an idea how you proceed in bringing this up to the profitability of the overall group level in 2014? Is that something that is achievable? And then maybe lastly, on the U.S. business itself, the U.S. business was one of the major reasons why you missed your EBITDA guidance in 2011 and 13, and compared to the market shares that you have in many European countries, it looks to be a bit subscale out of my perspective. So what are your thoughts on that? Although you have no success in turning it around, returning it to growth, is that something where you as a whole would think that the US part of the business might could be something that after you turned it around could be disposed? Thank you.
So first of all, EBITDA guidance, clearly the high end, 110, would require a really solid second half. It's not, it's still in the range. We didn't narrow it, but I would say that's probably not as likely as more to be in the middle of the range. I mean, middle of the range is very easy. It's 10 million EBITDA per month. It's probably more where we should think, more so than high end or even low end. So actually we're quite neutral now and actually exactly where we should be in terms of that guidance. Pharmacy margins, we are doing the restructuring there this year. The effect will come in 2015 and not in this year. How it seems now is that the positive effects from this restructuring will basically cover the restructuring costs this year. So it seems as though there will be no one-offs, which is a good thing. But again, the real margin, the real improvement will be for next year. Last question, it's easy to answer. If we succeed in turning the assets we today own in the U.S. around and making it a growing, profitable business, we will not sell it.
Thank you very much.
Alles klar. Yeah, Klaus here from Harvard. Thanks, Christian, for taking my question. I have basically five short ones. Let's go through it bit by bit. PPA, this quarter I calculated was 8 million, is it correct?
PPA should be about 8 million, yes.
Okay. Then the second one on the hospital business again. I listened to the conference call of Cerner and Siemens, and hearing what happened there the last 10 years since Mr. Löscher bought it and what Cerner is going to do. How much is your management attention currently on the hospital business? Also to turn around, to improve the margins there, basically.
Yeah, I would say right now quite a lot, because it is probably in the current period the weakest part of our business, also structurally. So, things do not happen by themselves. And right now, it's gaining a disproportionate share of our margin or our management attention. But I think that's fine. I mean, we've been through a phase now where that's been the case for the U.S. This is now running more in its own power. And right now, we are spending a lot of effort in fixing all aspects of the hospital business.
Okay,
needs to be done.
Okay. On R&D, the releases of the new G3 for HIS and AIS, when will both releases be? I mean, are they on plan as scheduled, and when will they be live?
So yes, they are as scheduled. That means that beginning of next year we will, I mean, the goal has been to be able, by the end of this year, to be able to offer a fully G3-based hospital system. So that's still on track. There's no change to this fast track. And we have our first AIS product, our Albis product in Germany, which is to be, ready in G3 technology. And that's also scheduled for end of this year, beginning of next year.
Okay. Thanks. The telematic. You said in the call now that AIS recorded 6 million of revenues this quarter.
No, 3 million. 3 million.
Ah, 3 million. Okay.
Yeah.
I calculated 1.3 million for COCO connectors.
Yes.
To add that, so we are at 4.3 million in this quarter. Is there anything else to add? And is this the run rate for this year?
That's probably... So, I mean... We are at about 4 point something accumulated, say, on the AIS side, and we've said this year we will end up, say, 11 to 12, say around 12. So, I mean, if anything, it's going to be slightly more in the second half. And for KUKO, it will definitely be more, because we estimate for the full year, that's more or less unchanged, so that will be 4.5 to 5 million. So just revenue-wise, there will be quite a bit more coming in the coming quarters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great, thanks. And last question on the U.S. business again, sorry, but the booking, you showed it in the chart. If you could give us the number, the correct number, basically. And then you mentioned in the report that you increase your sales force again in the U.S. Where are we there now, and how about the cost structure? So break even this year still, or next year, I guess?
So start with the last part first. We break even, yes, for this year. This is almost by design. We haven't actually been able to build up the sales force as quickly as we wanted, so we are behind on costs. But which means that that's going to be more than manageable. We actually had a profit in the last quarter, which wasn't planned, not big, but still there. Say the number, I think, is in the report. Let's see if I can
the
give
booking.
That to you.
The
yeah,
the
it's in the report.
Here,
it's 5 point something.
Okay. Page 4, I haven't found this.
Yeah, it's 5.0. It says page 2.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there was the middle part. What was that?
The middle part, yeah. Sales force. No, I think that's
yeah. The size of the sales force. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing that will dramatically change the cost structure. I mean, it literally is, you know, higher one by one. And I would say from where we are now to our goal, the plan is to add 10 to 15 more into our salespeople. So on an annual cost basis, that would be maybe, you know, everything included, about $2 million, $2.5 million on an annual run rate. But for the remainder of the year, you will not be able to see this on the group figures.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Christian. It's Hendrik from HSBC. Most resonance questions have been answered, so I just have two follow-ups. First one on the hospital segment. After the weak H1, how good is your visibility on the second half? You said you expect an improvement for the coming quarters, but how good is your visibility here, and how big is the risk that we will really see an outcome for the full year below the lower end of the guidance? That's the first one. And second one, a bit more qualitative picture on the margin outlook. Well, we all know that the current year is a year of investments, and we know that there are a couple of initiatives going on. Just could you provide us with some sort of outlook on where you are with these initiatives and what sort of the underlying clean margin could be? Because if I look at the consensus for next year, it's somewhere around 23% margin. Is that something that gives you a headache, or is that a figure you're happy with?
So if we take the hospital business, I mean, obviously to reach, we need about 5 million more in the second half compared to the first half. This is very normal if you look into our most recent years, so that's a normal seasonality. Typically at this point of the year, I would say roughly maybe half of that is covered, and there still is work and, say, risk associated with the remaining 2 to 3 million. You know, so it's not, you know, we will in any case get close. We are getting into an important period, and as I said on the call, it will be down to the wire, because the last kind of million you literally do in December. But other than that, you know, there is, of course, a tremendous amount of visibility in projects that are already contracted. We work off a backlog, and say that the remaining part is a few million, which on group level isn't dramatic. I guess, does 23% give me a headache? No. We had that in 2012. And if anything, the revenue mix and margin potential should have improved. So I think that is a pretty good yardstick as to where we are. And I will not comment anything in terms of, you know, guidance for next year. But 23% seems very appropriate and in line with both our history and our ongoing communication.
All right. Thank you.
Hello, Christian. It's Andreas Wolf from Warburg Research.
Hey, Andreas.
Sorry if some questions have already been answered. I couldn't listen to the whole call, but some that are still open. So probably regarding your reseller strategy, I know you had direct sales in Germany in the past, and I think Germany is the only country where you don't have direct sales. How many resellers would you like to acquire? Is it something like 20 for the future? What's the strategy here going forward? The second would be regarding percentage of completion revenues that are linked to the telematic project. How big were they? Was it all POC, or and which earnings contribution came from here? And then the last one is regarding the profitability. It's an additional question regarding what you've already said. What was the overall impact from the CRM and the ERP implementation in Q2, as well as the implementation integration costs for the recently acquired businesses? Thank you.
Yeah, so on the reseller strategy, altogether we have about 150 in Germany. you mentioned the number, you know, out of those, would 20 be, say, an appropriate number of owning direct?
Yeah.
Are we using that as the main driver behind it, but certainly we will by no means buy all of them, but we will buy some more, and something like 20% maybe is a good round figure. As you said, it is an exception how we do it in Germany. It's also been partially done that the service side has been very limited compared to other markets because of historical reasons and again so the missing telematic infrastructure. Again, that's now changing, so certainly for this to be meaningful, it would need to be somewhere around that figure. How long that will take, we don't really know. There's no big rush, but certainly it's an open now and clear strategy of ours to move in that direction. So how much of the revenue from the telematic infrastructure was POC? Well, everything, because that's how you account for it. And how much profits was there accounted for? Actually nothing. So far we are accounting for it, at least in the first two quarters, as equal costs also on a POC basis as revenue. Hopefully, if things continue the way they are, that would change slightly in the second half and we would get some profits in. But again, it is fully accounted under POC and will be done so both for this year and next year. Impact from CRM, ERP integration costs. The CRM, ERP, I would say is at least $1 million in the quarter. I mean, and that means just direct external, say, avoidable costs. Obviously, it is a big effort also internally to roll these systems out. And in addition to sort of taking the second wave on the big moves that we did in Germany in the first quarter, we've now also done the Italian pharmacy software business in the second quarter. Quite successfully. We are now moving to the other Italian business and the dental business in Germany almost as we speak. So, you know, we have roughly 25 additional FTEs now working on various parts of this project. So it's a pretty big thing. Integration costs, well, most of that is related to, say, still running cost-wise with the legacy cost structures. If we look into the pharmacy software business in Italy on a yearly basis, that is about $2 million per year, and in the French business it's about $1.5 million, and the same for the lab business. So those are some quantities. So I mean that would be $5 million, so that's also at least another $1 million for the quarter.
Okay, thank you. And one last question. Where approximately is your subscription price in the U.S.? What's the amount a doctor has to pay per month, let's say, and where do we stand in the competitive landscape? Thank you.
Yeah, so all included, practice management system and EHR, fully hosted, $599. Which means, $600 per month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, the question is how much of revenue cycle management services is included. But I would say we're not cheap, we're not expensive. That is the going market rate.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, Uwe again with the last one on the hospital. Siemens issues apparently seem to be related predominantly to the US, some other regions they mentioned as well, but predominantly US issues. Obviously not an area for you guys. So my question is, where do you see the main issues on the hospital side that lead to potential downside risk on the revenue front? By definition, must be one of the more meaningful markets, I would guess, maybe Austria, And is it really only kind of pressure on the CapEx side of things, or is it more a competitive issue as well as it has been in the past? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the German-speaking markets will be very is our main market in this business. That's where it comes from. Of those, Austria will be the biggest one. So yeah, that's where it comes from. I mean, keep in mind that we have a 50% market share in Austria, so it's hard to grow, and we are also at the tail end of the big Vienna project. So I mean, there is a lot to say substitute of forward-looking revenue to on that tail end. So I mean, we had almost 20% organic growth in this business when it stepped up in 2009, and now we are stepping down, and it isn't really by competitive dynamics. It's more where we are in this particular market. You know, we are big and moving into a new phase in Austria. We do grow in Switzerland, so I will count that to a market which have very positive dynamics. And then, you know, Germany, we are small and structurally not where we should be, and it is also not an easy market. Short answer is, you know, overall German-speaking countries and you know, the decisive markets will be Austria and Germany as to, the last few millions. Let me just state the obvious. We would never, ever, ever get into the hospital business in the U.S. And if we didn't want that before, we would never want that now, as this is a pure Epic Cerner market. And that's probably also why Epic and Cerner are so successful, as they have a structure which plays to their advantage.
You could have bought your way into for just $1.3 billion, but didn't decide to.
You know.
Anyway, thank you.
Good. That sounds then to be the last question. Thank you for your interest, and I will repeat the encouragement to sign up and meet us at the CGM eHealth Summit on the 10th of October.